Welcome to Keeping Up with the Constitution.
Hello listeners, and welcome back to another episode of Keeping Up with the Constitution, brought to you by UMCT. So today we have with us Mr. Raj Suryan Pillai. Is it okay if I call you Raj?
Yeah, Raj is fine, thank you.
All right. So Raj, could you give us a brief introduction of yourself?
I'm a criminal law practitioner. I was called to the bar in December 2014. I'm the sole proprietor of Suryan, which is my name, my full name, Raj Suryan. I've been practicing criminal law now. I think I just entered my 9th year. And in regards to the topic at hand, how I got involved very briefly is I used to do pro bono cases. I used to help out seniors back then during protests that happened, which was at that time quite often in KL lah, the Sogo area, Dataran Merdeka area, which was, I think, Bersih 3 or 4, you know, Tangkap Najib and all those kind of protests. So I was involved with it, as in I was one of the many lawyers who attended to those who were either arrested or investigated later on. Slowly over time from there, I became known to do work in that particular area lah, freedom of speech, assembly, association, matters under the Peaceful Assembly Act, and Communication and Multimedia Act, CMA. So that's a brief history of me. If you are asking me my professional associations, I'm a elected member of the Kuala Lumpur Bar Committee 2022-2023. I currently chair the co-chair the Legal Aid Centre Kuala Lumpur. I also co-chair the Criminal Law Committee for the KL Bar. I'm involved in many other committees lah, both at state level as well as national level, but I think they are not particularly relevant to the talk today, so I'll just leave it there.
Thank you, sir, for that introduction. Do you think it's possible if you share with us your experience and journey about the Lawan protest that you mentioned earlier and how you got involved and whatnot?
Okay, as mentioned earlier, why I became the sorted, the person who is sort looked out for this kind of events and all that, is because of my involvement in prior protests and gathering and other cases. So I became known as the go-to lawyer for such events, gathering, protests, issues with the Communication and Multimedia Act, especially Section 233, where, you know, posting on Twitter, posting on Instagram, posting on Facebook and all that. So I can't really remember how I got involved in Lawan. You have to understand that, in fact, prior to this podcast, I had to Google up when was Lawan. I had to go through my Facebook feed to look when were the post, when were the pictures posted. And I had to go and Google up news. When was this? Apparently, this was last year, somewhere end of July. So I honestly could not remember, because since then, there were so many other gatherings and all that in KL. There was, other than Lawan, there was Turun, there was Convoy, there was I don't know, Night Harga Barang and all that kind of nonsense. Then there was Mahasiswa, Mahasiswi. I don't know what that was, the gathering called. Even recently, there were multiple gatherings, and there were a few people charged in court under the Peaceful Assembly Act. So if you're asking me specifically for Lawan, I honestly can't remember lah. But the people who formed the management of the second, all organizers, friends lah, we know each other in the sense that I've worked with them in other events, other gatherings. I'm trying to self-censor. I don't want to call it protest, because protest has the negative connotation to it, and because the act is called Peaceful Assembly Act, so I'll call it assemblies lah.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Thank you, Raj. So in your past experience and involvement in this field, do you believe that there should be some limits onto what we are free to say in our country?
Okay, there's a difference between what I think personally. Okay, I think in all honesty, we should be a mature society whereby we are free to voice our concerns, our opinions, even though it may not be in favor of the majority or the government. We don't have to self-censor, we don't have to keep quiet if, you know, it's speaking up against people who are powerful, like the government or particular figures, political figures. In fact, it extends, in my opinion, to things like race, religion, royalty as well. If you think that they have done something wrong, you are free to voice your opinions. And as it stands, this is not particularly the accepted way of the majority of people in Malaysia so far. So race, royalty, religion is considered the three R's, which are sensitive, which apparently you cannot criticize lah. Because apparently if you criticize this, one whole portion of Malaysia will get angry and react with violence. This is the perception that we have. So my personal view is actually we should encourage all this form of discussion, debates, because we live in a democracy. We need to be able to discuss this kind of sensitive issues. We cannot shut off important issues by claiming they are sensitive. And therefore, we cannot discuss, we cannot debate about it. Keep in mind that we are all brought up in certain ways. We are all taught certain things. And without proper debate, without proper discussion, without proper exposure to the other sides of the coin, we will be stuck with one particular view. And we would grow up thinking that that view, which has been given to us, is the proper and correct view. Which is why I am all for debating and discussion. Fair criticism, fair debate, as long as it's done properly, I think that would be the best case scenario. If I say something about you and you're not happy with it, as a reasonable person, the way that you should react to it is by you debating back at me. What, unfortunately, the authorities and the government fear is if I criticize you, you might use violence against me, and whatever I say is deemed to be provocation because the issues are sensitive and it shouldn't be touched, which I think is the difference between what a mature society is and what an unmature society is lah. So as it stands, if you want to label it, then I think the government and the authorities think our Malaysian society is not mature yet lah. They're not mature enough to handle criticism, not mature enough to sit down and debate and argue. The thing is, I still do not understand why is it the authorities view the Malaysian society as being so sensitive that if anything is said against, especially the 3R or any particular politicians or particular ministers, even in fact even the prime minister, that we think that the response is going to be something violent from the supporters of the other side. And it shouldn't be that case, all right? We should not perhaps, of course, it's always best practice on the person criticizing to criticize and debate in a proper manner. Don't try to use stupid language. Don't try to purposely try to provoke, okay? In addition to that, of course, I think free speech has its limits. And the limits are already defined in places like the penal code, such as if you want to ugot, you want to blackmail a person, you know, you're not allowed to do so. You can claim it's speech. You want to threaten a person, you want to threaten a person's life. You want to say, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to rape you, all these kind of things all. Definitely, you know, I'm not in support of free speech when it comes to that. But this, you know, there's a clear line to draw here. It's different from criticizing the Yang di-Pertuan Agong. It's different from saying that the Prime Minister is not doing his job properly and he should step down. It's different from saying that the head of MACC is corrupted due to this. You cannot use the laws to censor people against the latter criticism because I think it's proper and legitimate. And if the Prime Minister or the YDPA or, you know, the MACC or whoever thinks that whatever criticism is not proper, then they should reply back in a manner debunking whatever criticism of or allegations against them. Then it makes sense. That's where you build a mature society, as opposed to shutting down people and saying, hey, you don't talk about it, this is sensitive. Add to that, you know, we are Asians. Our parents teach us to respect authority and kowtow to authority. And if the person is older, more powerful, richer, holds a higher ranking than you, you just shut up and you take what the person says. You don't question the other person. We are taught to not question authority. our school system from very young, cikgu cakap, you dengar, right? You don't, kenapa cikgu buat macam tu? Kenapa cikgu suruh buat macam ni? Some of the things that cikgu suruh buat doesn't make sense. From a very young age, we are taught not to question authority. Don't question our parents, don't question our elders. You know, we respect politicians regardless how corrupted they are because of the position that they hold. So from a very young age, we are taught to respect authority, in fact, to a certain extent, kowtow and don't question that. And I think this is wrong because this lets all of them get away with whatever they are doing. Be it politicians, be it prime minister, be it race leaders of particular races, leaders of religious societies, they may be even like ustaz and all that saying things which are provoking society. So all these kind of things, all we are taught to, don't question them because of the position that they hold. And I think that's not proper. If you want to question them, there are definitely ways to question them lah. But the point is, you should question them. So these peaceful assemblies that have been organized throughout the last few years, I'm taking it from Lawan onwards lah, because even prior to Lawan, before the MCO, there were many other things as well, like Tangkap Najib and all that. So those are the things that we see. They are raising questions. Lawan, if I remember correctly, was actually to ask the then Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, to step down due to his poor handling of the COVID situation. Right? I think that the non-stop MCO, it's killing businesses. It was killing all the smaller businesses and people losing their jobs and all that. So it was legitimate criticism, but of course, perhaps the authorities used the law to silence people lah, claiming it's emergency, MCO laws. They were even using excuses like, it's COVID, therefore you cannot gather and all that. But keep in mind, whatever laws this is, it doesn't just apply to those who are against the government or what is viewed as the left wing, right? If people who are in favor of the government would want to take to the streets or want to voice their opinions or form societies or form assemblies and all that, they can do so as well. So it's not just people view that all these protests and all these assemblies are done by the left wings, the anti-government people. But keep in mind, whenever people who are doing it in favor of the government, we have to stand up for their rights as well. And to be specific, these rights are actually in the federal constitution, particularly Article 10, if I'm not mistaken. Let me quickly look. Yeah, Article 10, which is freedom of speech, assembly and association. You can read yourself, last subsection 1. Yeah, I think I'll stop it for there for now.
All right. Thank you, Raj, for that in-depth answer for my question earlier. So I think now I would like to ask you, what are some recent events that involve the freedom of assembly, that you feel have impacted our everyday life and that should be addressed today, that is important?
Okay. Other than your Lawan and your Tangkap Azam Baki and all that, I think the recent ones were I think it was organized by the Mahasiswa Mahasiswi. I think it was the Turun. But they were asking basically for Turun Harga Barang lah. They were asking for the government to interfere and regulate the prices of essential goods. This was because I think, if you remember correctly, a few months back, due to inflation, the prices of goods skyrocketed and the government was basically not doing much for it. And one particular group which was impacted by this was the Mahasiswa Mahasiswi, considering the fact that they were burdened additionally with expensive prices and all that. So keep in mind, there's a whole level of society which are highly impacted by this. Most of us who are going to listen to this come from upper middle class or middle class who might not feel the impact of inflation and the government's lackluster action when it comes to curbing inflation, especially for essential goods. So I think what the Mahasiswa and Mahasiswi and all the other associations and groups did was to protest in front of SOGO, demanding that the government somehow get involved and basically control or regulate the prices of essential goods so that a large majority of society at least gets some form of assistance and help during these hard times. You know, post-COVID, people are losing jobs, inflation is high. So that's one of it. So they made their voices heard, and I think they were investigated. I think no one was arrested, but it was done over multiple weeks. I'm not sure. I can't remember whether it was done by the same organization, different organizations. I think there were some even pro-government associations, pro-government at that time associations, which turun depan Sogo after Friday prayers and all that, demanding that prices be. So that's a very important issue that I think they did the right thing by raising this. Because when you go down to the ground, when you take to the streets, you make a statement, right? You make a statement. It's reported in the news. It's reported on social media. People take notice of this. The government, the authorities take notice of this. And then, you know, this they become alerted of the matter, and therefore, then usually they spring into action because they know this is what is the view on the ground. As opposed to, you know, inflation goes up, everybody keeps quiet and say, let's trust our government, let's not do anything about it, let's be good boys and girls and sit at home. And, you know, if you're not happy, just grumble to yourself in front of the mirror and just that's about it. But keep in mind that once upon a time, you know, I think during Bersih 1, Bersih 2, they used to say that taking to the streets, having this public assemblies and all that is not in our culture. I am not sure where they got the idea that this was not in our culture, because even to fight for Merdeka, if you look back at the pictures and history and all that, I think Fahmi even did a documentary, something called Prior to Merdeka or whatever, whereby all your political parties and all took to the street to fight for Merdeka. So I would say that it's wrong to say that, you know, taking to the streets, voicing our concerns, voicing out against authority and all that is not in our culture lah. All right. So I'll stop it there.
All right. Thank you, Raj, for that. Okay, what are your thoughts on the Fahmi Reza's forum at the public universities being shut down? And some of them are UNIMAP, UITM, and even UM. Even in UM that happened. So what are your thoughts?
That's an interesting question. Of course, if you ask me personally, once again, and whatever opinions here are my opinions alone, I think it's quite stupid lah. What do they fear? They fear one guy with long hair, is it? One 40-year-old punk with long hair. I mean, seriously, you all got a problem. I mean, seriously, the uni still got a problem with such a person. And if you ever stopped and went through any of his, what do you call it? Scholar Democracy or something like that. I don't know what he calls it. Let me quickly check. I don't know what do you call it?
Campus Democracy. Class Democracy, actually.
Class Democracy. Yeah. If you watch any of it, it was on TikTok, it was on Twitter, he live streamed it, I think, on YouTube as well. He did not say anything controversial or wrong. In fact, whatever he did and his efforts were highly praised by people on social media, netizens. And in fact, he was even praised by... there's this video going on by Professor Dr. Sadiah Mohamad, mantan professor economy di UITM, who says that what Fahmi did was actually a good thing, and that we should encourage people to debate, talk about this kind of topics more, because as I mentioned earlier, this is a democracy after all. You know, you don't want to limit opinions, ideas. We don't want to silence people if whatever they say is not in favor of us. But then again, if you look at the Fahmi's class or whatever he calls it, right, there was nothing particularly controversial. In fact, he was very entertaining. In fact, he taught or lectured us better than most of our university lecturers. And he managed to hold our attention for that 1 hour or whatever. This is something that most of your university lecturers could actually benefit from. And he basically did, to my experience or knowledge, what he did was basically teach a basic Form 6 class on our political system lah, what is parliament, how do the people in parliament get voted in, what are their powers, the executive, the judiciary. He never actually told you, you know, you must vote for this person and the other party is wrong. It's this person's policy is wrong, you must vote. He did nothing of that sort. He criticized everybody. That's the good thing about Fahmi. He doesn't care your DAP ka, your PN ka, your BN ka, your UMNO ka, your Anwar Ibrahim ka. Sorry, Perdana Menteri yang amat berbahagia, Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim today. Sorry. So he criticizes everyone equally. If you do something stupid, you're criticized by him. And his criticism is nothing nasty or dirty or anything menjijikkan. So I think it's fair. If you're looking just at the democracy class that he held prior to election, I think it was something very educational. It brought the topic down to a good number of people who were interested but had no patience for reading. They had no other resources, you know. TikTok, I think Fahmi particularly started TikTok became popular on TikTok very recently only. He blew up on TikTok. He was popular on Twitter and Instagram previously, but he leveraged TikTok recently because of the younger generation being on TikTok lah. So he leveraged TikTok to provide education on our political system, on what parliament is, Raja Parliament, all this kind of information. And I thought that it was something good, and I did not understand why any of the public universities decided to censor him or stop him. If you look at the private universities, they openly invited him and went as far as to promote the private colleges and universities. I can't remember what, I think it was Taylor's, and I'm not sure what are the other ones. They invited him, and in fact, the lecturers and all that were there in support, and they did the marketing for his event and all that. So you look at the stark contrast between our public unis and our private unis and our public unis. Like, what is it that these public unis fear? The worst part is, I'm not sure these public unis realize or not, but the more you decide to censor something, the more you decide to stop something, the more people want to hear it. The moment you censor a film, the more a person wants to watch the film. The more you raise the curiosity of the public, like, what is it about that they're censoring? Let me go and find out. Is there his TikTok? Is there his Twitter? Okay lah, you don't allow it in campus. Nothing is stopping us to having it in the mamak shop directly outside the campus, which I think a good number of the events which were supposed to be held in the public universities ended up in either a mamak shop or a coffee shop nearby the universities, right? So in the end, you cannot stop it. So it's either you accept it, you go there, you leverage on whatever he says. If you disagree with what he says, then you come up with lectures and all that, stating that whatever he said is wrong. But to stop him from talking, that means you fear something. And you know, when people see that the public unis fear something, it raises an eye. This is an institution of education. This is an institution whereby all forms of knowledge should be encouraged, should be debated, should be discussed.
All right, sure. So we just want to conclude our session. So we just want to ask if you have any advice or any personal experience that you would like to share that you feel might be knowledgeable for us.
Okay, as mentioned, my advice to who I assume university students, right? Those who are going to hear. I would advise them to not be afraid of authorities. Don't be afraid that, you know, people are being called up for investigation or even being arrested and all that. You should know your rights according to the federal constitution. You should be able to be brave enough to voice your opinions, your concerns, to debate, to argue, to discuss topics. And you should be able to, as far as possible, you know, gather and assemble and to luahkan your perasaan where you think it's fit. Of course, if you do it every week, it gets a bit annoying as well lah. That's the practical reality of things. So I would end up there. Whenever or wherever you get involved in such matters and, you know, the police or the authorities want to investigate you, as far as possible, always go in with a lawyer. that is my advice, and I think I'll end it there. I think it's fair because if you don't go in with a lawyer, you might be intimidated by the authorities, and this is where you would feel afraid. You would admit everything to the police. Right or wrong is a different story, you know. But when you're before the police who's investigating the matter, you will sing, you will tell the full story. These are the organizers.
Yes, sir.
That's about it. Thank you.
Okay, all right. So thank you, sir, for that very informative discussion. And I personally feel like we learned a lot, and I'm pretty sure the students who are about to listen to this will as well. So thank you for joining us on this podcast, and we hope to see you, and hopefully we get to meet you in future events.
Yes.
So I will stop the recording.
All right. Thank you.